I want to share with you the story that I read. I get this email from Dirsch, who sends this daily, I don't know if it's daily or nearly daily. They said a story of Abitzchok Zilberstein, famously the son-in-law of Eliashiv, famously the brother-in-law of Abraham Kanievsky, famously the Oshkoil of Cholon, which is known for a place, famously a very good speaker, famously the Mechaba of it's not a set of Sforim, it's a whole Sforim shank really, where he's done, you can fill up all his Sforim, like basically a few rows in your bookshelves. So he's published really a lot of Sforim, and he's got a lot of stories about his Shver, about Eliashiv, he's got a lot of stories about his brother-in-law, he's got a lot of stories in his own right, and this is why why does it always happen to him, these stories? So he's always in a Pesach Kron, always these things happen to him, you know? So this is what happened to Abitzchok Zilberstein. So he says, he goes weekly, a few times a week, I believe. He goes from Bnei Brak, where he lives. He's got this koil in Cholon. Cholon is not a full place. But he's always koil there. And he goes there to, I don't know how far it is, but he goes there, and Nissim will probably be able to tell us. What's that? It's
suburb of Tel Aviv.
Okay, so it's probably not that far. But he takes a taxi to go there. So one day, he goes into a taxi, and the taxi driver, random, as we should know, not affiliated anyway, he goes into the taxi and he sees this guy doesn't look particularly firm at all. He's got his long ponytail. He's got these the earrings and the full whack, as they say, you know. He sits down, no problem. He starts preparing the shir, learning mishnayos, I don't know, and then. Eventually, a few minutes into the drive, the guy says, hello. And then he says, yeah. He says, look, and I'll show you something. He opens up the bottom of his shirt. And probably there was tattoos, but ignore that. But he looks inside and he sees there's tzitzis there. Proper telescope and tzitzis. So I was saying, oh, you mean tzitzis? He says, sure. What do you mean? I don't wear tzitzis? Of course I wear tzitzis. What do you mean? He says, I keep Shabbat as well. He says, serious? You keep Shabbat? You wear tzitzis? Of course. He says, ignore my ponytail, ignore the tattoos for a minute. I said, but what's the story? He said, I'll tell you what happened. I was driving a few months ago. And then somebody was asking me a... somebody was asking... was took. It was early morning. And I went to a... I went. I took somebody on a drive. And then it was Alamoneh? What's called Alamoneh? On the meter. From one part of the town to the other part of the town. The guy tells me, there was a fun guy who was in the car, and he said to me, you know, you look really hungry, and you look very thirsty, I can see that, and he says, yes, but he's totally finished, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten anything, I haven't drank it. He says, you know what, come to my house, and I'll give you coffee, and I'll give you something to eat, you look starved. You know, you look like you've had many hours of hard work. So yeah, I'm really, he really invited him very, very, he says, you know what, I'll take your offer. So this fun guy in his little flat invites this taxi driver who's never met before. He drives him to the house. But he says, one thing, if you come into my house, one thing I'm asking for you. What is it? Where sits the brochas? No. I would have guessed the same, but absolutely not. You know what he said? He says, when you come into my house, I'm asking one thing. Don't switch off the meter. Don't switch off the money. No. Don't switch off the money. It shouldn't be that I'm inviting you, it's costing you money. If I'm inviting you, I want it to be all the way. It's on my cheshbon. It's on the house, as they say. It's on me. He said, no, it's nice enough as it is. No, you're only coming if you're keeping the money on. And he insisted on it. He absolutely insisted on it. And finally, when he comes in, he gives him a coffee, gives him something to eat, gives him something to drink, and eventually he's very, very chuffed. He said, did you want anything in return? He said, no, absolutely not. I just wanted, you know, I'm happy. You're hungry. I'm happy to share with you. So he walked out. As he walked out, the guy pays him, and he says, you know what? Here's the thing, money. And he gives another fiver as well. And they walk into the car. He says, you know, if that's the values that those phone people have, never been exposed to that, never encountered, if that's the values, I have to look into it a little bit more. And he says, yeah, here I am keeping Shabbos, here I am wearing tzitzis, I'm not quite ready for you know, my ponytail, I still got to have my ponytail, and, you know, I'm getting there. And then Abitzchok Zilberstein turned around, and he says, it's unbelievable, how much did it cost him to keep them on there, another 5 shekel, another 10 shekel, another 20 shekel, but it made such an impact on this person. And that's what Abitzchok Zilberstein, I think it's a fascinating story, because I think what it also brings home is that we often speak about Kirov and about helping out people and you know, and giving people and kiv and all that. But we often don't realize is that are we really prepared to give something towards as well? Or is it just that we are like on a mission, on an agenda are we prepared to do something, to give something for it? And I think that's what made that impact in that instance. So I think that's a very interesting story, Silberstein, which I read. Okay. Interesting story. Okay, gentlemen, we're going to carry on a little bit with the halachas of, yes, indeed. So we are in Hilchas, Atzachim, the Kovasim, and Tzadi Beis. We are in towards in Seif Hey. That's it in Seif Hey. Simon Tzadi Beis, Seif Hey. And here we go. Rochatz Seif Hey. Rochatz Yod of Shachris. What happens if a person washes hands? We spoke yesterday about washing hands, the requirement of washing hands. He washed hands. Rochatz Yod of Shachris v'siach daitoy. So he washed his hands in the morning and then he siach das. His mind went off he thought about other things. He was not concentrating about the cleanliness of his hands. He switched off, was busy doing other things. Tzrichim netile tefila, he must wash his hands for davening yet again. Im yesh lemaim, if there's water around. So if you washed your hands in the morning, but then you didn't think about it during the day, you have to wash hands again for davening, if there is water available. Although you don't have confidence, you don't know for sure, you don't know if the hands are clean, you don't know, but you didn't concentrate on it, you didn't have conscious awareness on them, don't make a bach on it, but you have to wash your hands again. So the lack of confidence, the lack of confidence you have in your hands, they're not sure what you did with them, did I do anything dirty or did I not do anything dirty, that itself requires you to wash your hands again, although without a bracha. If there's no available clean water to wash your hands, and so you don't actually have to go out of your way to wash your hands. So if you're not sure, then yes, you should wash, don't make a bracha, but if you don't have water available, then you don't need to wash your hands. What you should do, Mishnah Berurah says, Zivkon Chavav, we learned yesterday, and this is really the underlying point over here, ideally you have to wash your hands, even if you don't know they're dirty. Ideally you should wash your hands before davening. However, if you don't have the availability of washing your hands, you should wash your hands, rub your hands clean in a way that there's no physical dirt on them. So that's the second best a person can do. But, pardon?
What do you mean?
You should wash your hands with water. Yes, lechatchila. Yeah. I suppose that's the more precise term.
If someone doesn't, it's okay.
If the hands are absolutely clean, then he wouldn't. Then that's all it is. Yeah, that's all it is. If the hands are dirty, then the requirement is greater. Nigelwasser is a different pasha because. Yeah, Nigelwasser, this is beyond Nigelwasser. As you see, the Shulchan Aruch's words at the beginning of the Seif is Rochatz Yod of Shachris. He did wash his hands initially when he woke up, which means that he did do that, the initial washing hands he did. However, later on during the day, now he needs to wash his hands again. Yeah, the same will apply for Minchah Maariv. So we did discuss earlier that there is, the Rashba holds that for davening there is this, it's part of the Hikoin aspect. There is a preparation for davening. A person should ideally wash hands for Mincha as well. It is not, you can't say the person is obligated, but it is the right thing to do. Absolutely, yeah.
And obviously,
this is correct. Not going to get dirty. Yeah. I want to say something. Yeah, it's true. Let's look at Siv Zayin. We'll clarify this a little bit more. Siv Zayin says, Mokim Etunav, in Siv Vav, Ha'oimed Betfila, somebody who is davening, Shmona Esa, when he's kind of, you remember, Shanaka Mokim Etunav, and suddenly he realized, oh, my hands are really dirty. He was davening Shmona Esa, oh, look at my hands. They're filthy. So, it's sufficient, Benikoin, with cleaning the hands, with earth, with pebbles, with stones, rub them, or mechachich yod of the coast, you can even rub your hands clean in the wall. That will suffice as well. So the dirt that we are talking about really is what kind of dirt? What kind of dirt are we talking about?
Dirt
if it's something that you can rub away with pebbles. Pardon? Very mud, very, 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 very dirt. Which gives us a bit of something. So what does that mean in terms of our hands nowadays? They don't get, I mean, you're right, never mind lawyers and solicitors and accountants, never mind that, but even more manual labor doesn't get that dirty, doesn't get that dirty. Yes, yeah, yeah. And also what I find interesting is that we know nowadays when we talk about hands not being clean, what are we often referring to? Like, why are we washing hands nowadays? They're not full of mud, but they are perhaps... Yeah, it's bacteria and there's other... So that's clearly why we wash hands nowadays as well. We're not talking about that at all. That doesn't seem to be an issue. Okay, Siv Zayin, Mokem Metunav, what is considered dirt? Hainu, that is, what is considered dirty areas in the body? We spoke about that previously. Mokemus and Mechusim, these are covered areas of the body. Be'odom Shesh, when Mirimun Ezeo, there is dirt, there's sweat gatherings there. V'chenim Chich Beroisim, if you scratched your head, that's also considered a dirty, it's not particularly clean in the hair, a hair area, and therefore those areas, by touching them, a person is afterwards should wash his hands. V'lochen, therefore, also Liga B'mekoimois, Eilu B'shash Emdi Metfila, a person should not touch, therefore is parts of the body which are normally covered when he's davening, or is it Batosim, when you learn Torah, you should not be touching any areas in the body which are generally covered. Any skin or head area that is normally covered, a person shouldn't be touching. Similarly also with any anything that comes out of your nose or ear, these are all considered things which require afterwards you washing your hands. So the Mishnah says, second best, that's okay. Mishnah Sifkon Choftes says, that would be the second best. Ideally, you should wash your hands properly, but if a person is unable to, then after touching any areas of the body which are... So if a person touches his part of the body which are normally covered, and he's learning, what he should do is that he should afterwards rub his hands clean because of the dirt that may potentially have been gathering there. Okay, Sif Ches. Hamashtin, different halacha altogether. Hamashtin, somebody who is... Who's being excused? Who's going to the bathroom? Lo yispalel, should not daven. Ad, until sheikidiluch ab amois. So he should afterwards, it should be after a wait, a delay, until he davens. Kedei heluch ab amois. In order that there should be time to walk for amos. The Mishnah says, if God named Gimel, kedei heluch, roitzeloyma hazman sheliluch ab amois. How long is that to walk for Amos? How long does it take for Amos? It's like basically four steps, yeah? How long is that?
1 or 2 seconds.
Yeah, probably a couple of seconds. You should wait after urinating. A person should wait 2 seconds, that long. Kedei luch aba Amos. Mishum li tzoytzois. What does that mean? V'amispale lo yashtin. Which means that there is still, it may be dripping a little bit, and a person should wait until it's completed before he continues to down. Also, the other way around, when somebody is davening, he should wait again those few seconds. What this means is that when a person is going to be excused and is in the middle of davening, he shouldn't go straight from davening straight into the bathroom. He should stop a few seconds finishing davening, and then only then going into the bathroom. The reason is because a person will subconsciously, very interesting, because the person's tefillah is still in his mouth. He's got that kind of verbal, he's still talking and davening, and his mouth is still experiencing the tefillah mode. He's still in tefillah mode. You need to switch from tefillah mode into bathroom mode, which takes a couple of seconds. So it looks like it's universal. So a person should have a few seconds of switching over, transitioning mode. Save Tess. Aroi cake, somebody who spits, they spell it out, Shisha, but Amazon who spits, we spoke about the permission of spitting in Shuv, we spoke about that. So a person spits, yes, to get rid of the saliva in his mouth. Here again, he should wait a few seconds before continuing to davening. Hal is spelled vice versa. Somebody who davens, he should here again stop davening before spitting. It's for the same reason, because you want to make a short transition before the two activities. But if it just came into his mouth, then if he can't hold himself, then it will be okay. And Seif Yud teaches us the following halacha. Toiv, I don't know why this ended up over here. I really don't know why. This you would have guessed that it should have been written earlier. Toiv litein stoka koidem tefillah. It is proper litein stoka to give stoka before tefillah, before davening. And with this, we have completed Siman Tzadi Beis. So you should say, you should give stoka before davening. Yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what is the right timing? Let's look at what Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan, Lamed Vav, the first word. Well, let's see what it means. Tefillah. Why so? The Ksiv, Vani Betzedek Echze Ponecho. Very interesting how he's interpreting this pasuk. Vani Betzedek Echze Ponecho. So the way he's interpreting this is Ani Betzedek, with righteousness, Echze Ponecho, I will look at your face. In other words, when I do Tzedek, which doesn't mean righteousness, but it means stoker, Echze Ponecho, I will look at you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very interesting, unexpected interpretation of this passage in Tehillim. Uve'eze keilois, and this is now about the timing. When exactly is the right time? So he brings from Prima Gordon, Ve'eze keilois, kdoshos, in some holy communities, Nisken HaMinek, the Minek is been established, the first white line, Liten stoker to give stoker, V'chshimagia le'posik ve'oysha, when you reach the words and wealth, and you control, you own everything, that is the right time to give stock. When is that? At what stage in davening is that?
Just before they share.
When do we say that? Oh, yes, let's look. Now, I'm happen to be holding an art scroll siddur, and lo and behold, what are we seeing over here? Harizal, you interrupt in the middle of the words over here, literally in the middle of the pasuk. It says, when you say the words Atu Moshe Bakoil, you gave stoker. I wonder if the English one. Anybody got an English one over here?
Does it also say that English one just in this edition?
So that's where it comes from. Mishmur says that it is the right time to give when he says Atum Moshe Bakoil. That's the right timing, the perfect timing to give tzedakah. V'yesh mekoy mois. Yeah, so that's what he recommends. Anybody seen that minhag?
No.
Yeah? Pretty common. Yeah? V'yesh mekoy mois. Others have a different minhag. There's an English one over here? There's no English? I wonder if it says an English one. V'yesh mekoyim, it's a different minhag is as follows. Shenoegin lekaba it stoker, the gift stoker. Oh, let's see what it says.
So it's customary to give stoker here at this point.
Yes, it is. It is. Yes.
There we go.
Art scroll gives in English edition, it is customary to set aside something for charity at this point. See commentary.
You're the commentary.
Yeah, page 76. Yeah, okay, so there we go. That's what some people do. Others have a minhag to collect money during laning. And that is wrong. That is the wrong thing to do. Why is it wrong?
You should be concentrating on the
Kiyas. I want to point out a little bit of a I'm not going to call it controversial, but I'm not sure how to phrase this. Here it's not so common, but if you daven, I don't know, you daven in Stamp Still sometimes? Shachis? At times, yeah? You daven sometimes? So whichever minute you daven, it is very common that people collect, but it's very common. How's in Shtibel, Shachis? How busy does it get?
From time to time, they get people.
Yeah, so sometimes it's literally every few minutes. They don't bother, it's not worth it. Yeah, yeah. So they got literally every... So now the question is as follows. You can sometimes have, I'm not exaggerating, for normal shachris, I'm talking...
By the time they've paid all their cigarettes, and they've paid their... They're just coming just to fill up time.
So the question is as follows. The question is as follows. Is there an obligation to give tzedakah or not? Am I obligated to give tzedakah? I'm talking about 15, 17 times during a shachris or not. Or perhaps you could argue that what? That's it. Osik b'mitzvah potur mitzvah. Osik b'mitzvah, I'm busy doing a mitzvah. You know there's a rule, a shas rule. This is a klal. This is a fundamental shas yesoid. Osik b'mitzvah, potur mitzvah. When I'm busy doing one mitzvah, I'm potur, I'm exempt from another mitzvah. Now, this should be a classic case of Osik b'mitzvah, potur mitzvah. I'm Osik b'mitzvah, I'm davening. And you know what? The Mefarshim say, the Rishonim say that if you are able to do both mitzvahs simultaneously, then you should do both. I'm unable to do both mitzvahs simultaneously. I'm either davening and concentrating on davening, or I'm giving tzedakah. I can't do both simultaneously. If I'm giving the... How do you give both?
No, because maybe during the repetition.
During Chazal Shabbat.
No, yeah, no, but they're coming during... Yeah, so, but maybe during Chazal Shabbat. Maybe. So you can say...
Only Malachim or Isaac will miss a drink of Chazal Shabbat, right?
Yeah, doing chazal shatz. Granted, I'm with you. Okay, grant chazal shatz. I'm with you. I'm with you, chazal. But psukah dezimba, pirkas shema. Yeah. So lechayru yikonu because atzim mitzvah the mitzvah. So I just want to point out. So I feel this is a pretty. I in my opinion, I think this is a perhaps selfish. But I think that they were halachically a very sound argument. Yeah, you go to Tottenham Adas in Stamford Hill, you go to Tottenham Adas, slightly more Yekish shul. It says outside, though the collections are more than welcome, whoever wants to come, but it should come after, it should come during Asher Valetzian. So they're queuing up. Asher Valetzian, they're wolves. Yeah. That anyway, that's your obligation. I know you have an obligation to give. Of course, you have an obligation to give Maisa. You do have an obligation to give Maisa, but that doesn't mean that I have to do it now. I can do whenever I want. Yeah, that's a different. That, I hear, but that's a different. That's a different question. How much do I give? But I'm to, that's probably true as well. But now, the thing which I want to point out is the Mishnah movie sounds very interesting, and the art scroll, in fact, he says it's customary to give. What was it? What was wording? It's customary to give. That's not what he said. To set aside. It's customary to set aside charity at that point. Hey, well, it's Osik b'mitzvah. Why does the Mishnah Berurah say and quoted in the art scroll? So we know that it's that you give tzedakah at that point. Why does Mishnah Berurah say that Arizal gave tzedakah during Pesukah Dezimra? Hey, Osik b'mitzvah. Pardon?
He said this one before Shabbat.
So, it doesn't help me. If I put my vouchers on the side like this, I'm still unable to concentrate either on the stock or on the davening. I can't do both. I can't. Because even if I keep my vouchers on the side, I know that I have to just double check. You know, is everything under control, kind of. Is it taking the booklet and keeping one voucher here? Or taking one voucher, you know what's happening. So, you want to make sure that it's a... So I'm not sure. I'm unsure how to interpret this Mishnah Berurah, because look, it sounds like it's the right thing to do. No, it doesn't. It says in some cases that's the minhag. But so, what are your thoughts on this?
Set aside.
So, but what are you doing at that stage of what are you doing in the stage of when you're saying va'oshel b'kol? Mishnah Berurah says. That's when some killers are the minute of giving tzedakah. So what do you mean?
You've got to build that into your davening
time. So you're saying that it's the right thing to do, despite you're not obligated because Osik mitzvah potur mitzvah, but it's still the right thing to do.
If someone's in a 1-2-3 minyan where there's no time to breathe, then you're not going to have a chance to give that pound and to finish that.
But if there is time allowing, it's the ideal situation. Yeah. And what I want to add as well... Yeah, and I want to add something. I want to add 2 points to what you're saying. The one point I want to say, look at the, what was the Shulchan Aruch's words? Again, with the last words of Simon Tzadi Beis. What's the words of the Shulchan Aruch? Last words of Simon Tzadi Beis. Yeah, page 250. What are the words of Shulchan Aruch? Kodim Tefillah. What's Kodim? Probably before davening, right? No, in the middle of davening. Probably. Yeah, I know. So, but it probably still means before. Yeah, I'm not sure. Perhaps, I hear.
Tefillah is Shema Ezra, and between Shema and Shema Ezra, there's no point you can do properly. You can come like a hefsek, really, during any of those points. There's no, you can't look up to make a hefsek.
Yeah, yeah.
So before Tefillah really is that state, sort of doing my work, that's Moshe Makot.
I hear what you're saying. And finally, another point which I want to just bring out is that what is he probably talking about? Is he talking about this was the mshulach at that point that you gave it to him, or probably more likely that there was a box, right? Which was very common in all the shuls. They used to stock a box. It was part of every shul. So I actually just saw there's a whole book about it of pictures of all the shuls at stock a boxes. Very interesting how they did it. The style, the Polish style, the Hungarian style, the Ukrainian style, all pre-war shuls, what did stocker pushkas look like? But I want to ask you something. In terms of that stocker, does it make a difference when you put the coin in? Surely it doesn't make a difference, right? Do you have to give it during the Osha, Vatum Osha Bekoil at that point? What's the difference if you give it later? Like, as far as stocker is concerned, it doesn't make a difference. So why do I need to give it during those words? If there's a mashulach who goes, then fine, I want to do the mitzvah now.
Hashem rules over everything, and even your
mind. Right, very good. So I think what you're stressing is that, according to the Ari, who is the source of this, it's that part of the tefillah is through this action of giving stock in the middle of davening. Not just to save after Moshe Bakoil, but also to internalize it. And the best way to internalize it is by giving at that point. It's a part of the avodah is to not just save after Moshe Bakoil, right, you know, but you actually mean it, and by showing it, by demonstrating it, by giving it. But something to think about. Okay, I'm excited. That's it for this evening. I want to just finish off by wishing a huge, enormous mazel tov. I'm running from simcha to simcha. Wow. Huge mazel tov to Goyse Baal Simcha. Honor of Mr. Bill's daughter's engagement. Be'emes a Goyse Simcha. A huge, huge mazel tov. In ve'agefen, be'in ve'agefen. She run from simcha to simcha. I have a lot of naches.